Thank you, Lawrence. That was excellent. I feel like it's kind of short. I got a feeling we really need to continue the Lord's Supper longer, just meditating on that. Because isn't that everything? Hasn't Christ done it all? And so I just feel like an addendum, kind of a afterthought almost this morning, because the most important thing that you come here with and the most important thing that you would leave here with is that close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, making him Lord of your life. Because, after all, life is more than just Sunday morning for a couple hours. It's 24/7, isn't it? Life happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Wednesday, you know, and all of that. So I hope and pray that as you walk out here this morning that you and the Lord Jesus are like that. Really, really close and really, really tight. What we want to look at this morning, or what I plan on us looking at this morning, is kind of looking to the past, seeing where we're at, and looking forward and getting a little bit, maybe a better idea of who our daddy is. I think that's the way the terminology is today. Because as human beings, we are unique. We're designed incredibly by God, and he made us kind of in three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And for us to attack life, for us to live life in an abundant manner, in an abundant way, we kind of have to get those all together, because typically we have a tendency to get real frayed. And typically we kind of look like this, the end of this rope. I used rope illustration last week as illustration of the church. You know, the core is, as we're growing up, we have a tendency to cut the core, our core off. We have a tendency to cut God off, and we go different ways. But when we do that, our life gets real tangled and real messed up. And so salvation is that point where we realize that we want God in our life, and that we want to make him number one and at the heart and the core of ourselves. And then when we make that decision and are united with Christ, putting God upon the throne of our lives, then those strands that are all raveled, we begin to cut those off, so that you know, we start looking whole again, and our lives become more solid, and we're more cognizant of who God wants us to be and how he's designed us to be. And then as a stronger individual strand, by cutting off all those things that are not important and focusing upon God at the core of us, then as we strengthen as an individual strand, then in the church we're woven together like this rope is. And where two or three or strands are, it's not easily broken. And so we're stronger together as a whole. Well, I wanted to kind of branch off of that to realize the way God has made us. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul tells the church there, he says, I pray that you be sanctified or set apart, spirit and soul and body. So I want to use the rope again as a brief illustration again of what our lives are like as individual, that we are spirit and soul and body put together. And it's interesting thoughts from the very, very beginning. If you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Real quickly, we kind of get a picture of this and the three levels of life that are in this realm. When we read in the book of Genesis, we find in verse 11 that God said, let the land produce vegetation, or let the plants grow, after he had made a place for them to live. And familiar with the plant world, we know that they are just a body. Now, they can do certain things. They respond to the light, and they kind of gravitate towards that. But basically, plant life is just a body. And they have that first level of life, which is that physical life, which is able to transfer oxygen and nutrients and grow, and also to be able to give life. But basically, a plant is just a physical body. That's all it is. Well, later on in Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 and 24, as God begins to create the animals, he uses the term of living creatures in the New International Version. Other versions call them, get this, living souls. And the animals are very unique in God's creation in that they have a mind and they have emotions and they have a will. And you can prove this when you go home to your dog Rover. It's very obvious to us. When we go home, our dog, whether it's Rover or Yogi or whatever his name is, when he sees you, or she, she sees you, she makes a decision. Is this friend or foe? And when this animal makes a decision, friend or foe, they have feelings about you. And those feelings, this dog makes a decision. And what does this dog do? The ears come up. The tail kind of wags this way. They may bounce a little bit because they are happy to see you. This is a living soul. This is a mind. It's emotions. And they've made a decision that you're a friend and they love you. And they make that known. Now, on the opposite hand, if you crawl into somebody's house and that animal inside is not familiar with you, they're also going to have a thought about you. And they're also going to have a feeling about you. And sometimes there's a lot of animals in this world that have that feeling about preachers. And I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if they've just been listening to mom and dad talking about how the preacher is. But anyway, sometimes that happens. But that animal also, in those thoughts about you and with that feeling about you, will also make a decision. And what will they do? How will they express it? The ears don't go forward. The ears go back. And they get lower, and they'll warn you. They'll smile, kind of. But they're letting you know that they recognize you as an unfriend. They're going to unfriend you. Matter of fact, they already have. They're just letting you know. Animals are able to animate the body to express themselves. And so they're called living souls here in Genesis chapter 1. Well, where does that leave people? Where does that leave humans? Humans have bodies. Humans have souls because we have minds, we have emotions, and we make decisions. And we express those decisions with our bodies. Well, God says later on in chapter 1, verse 26, that when he's looking at man, he says, they have this conference. They said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. In chapter 2, if we can skip over just for a moment, friends and brethren, when chapter 2, verse 7 says, the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that man, or that person, that human, became a living being. A living being. In contrast to just the creature, which lives by instincts and kind of pre-programming, a human being is a living being. Yes, has a body, able to think, have emotions, make decisions, but also has this spiritual connection, a receptor. We are able to be connected to the spiritual realm. And that becomes a great benefit to us, and it also becomes a great bane to us as well. Because there are only two spiritual transmitters, the holy and the unholy. Perhaps we can illustrate this through KKOZ this morning, brought to you, sponsored by KKOZ. They have a transmitter. They have a transmitter that is powerful. And with this power, it is able to broadcast at a certain frequency, at a certain level, correct? Okay, and it's all theirs. And there are other radio stations around, they have transmitters, and by the power that is invested in them, they're able to, at a certain frequency, broadcast their message. Well, these waves, radio waves, we could even use television if that's your favorite, these radio waves, they're everywhere. There's transmitters everywhere, correct? And even though we're sitting here right now and we can't see them, are they happening? We're surrounded by these waves. They're just moving through the building. They're moving all around us and everything. And they're everywhere and they're unseen. However, if we have a receiver, if we have a tuner, what can we choose to do? We can turn the dial, and we can receive the frequency, the waves, the airwaves, the frequency of KKOZ or any other station. We have that freedom that we can do that. We have that choice. The same is true in the spiritual realm, brothers and sisters, that the spiritual transmitters that there are, the holy and the unholy, they're broadcasting all the time, everywhere. They're everywhere, and even though we cannot see them with our eyes, we perceive them. Sometimes we perceive them in our thoughts, and we have to make a decision then based upon the information that we have received. In Genesis chapter 4, if I can use Cain as an illustration, as Cain was angry with his brother, Abel, because it seemed like Abel, in his sacrifice to God, it was well-pleasing to God. God received that sacrifice. He was in tune with that transmitter. Cain had a different thought, didn't he? Cain had a completely different thought, and he was plotting in his heart to take care of that situation by eliminating his brother. And God came to Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. Follow along with me, if you will, that the Lord and Cain had this conversation. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must what? You must master it." In other words, in the illustrations, you must change the channel. Okay? Don't hold on to that thought. Don't grasp onto that thought. Don't take that any further. Don't go down that slippery slope of harming your brother. Instead, change the channel. Don't let sin have its way with you. Handle this. Take care of this. Well, in the New Testament, if you're a fan of the New Testament, especially in First Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, we read that God is faithful. When? In the midst of temptation. It says that there's no temptation that has seized you except what is common to men. And God is faithful at this particular point to what? To not let you be tempted beyond what you're able. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way of escape. He will also provide a way out. He will also provide the right path out. He'll provide the right thoughts. He'll provide the right impetus. All you have to do is choose. No temptation that is transmitted by the evil one or by the unholy one has to be your master. God will provide a way out. Just change channels. Please, please change channels. Now, see, the uniqueness of human beings is that, yes, we're a body, we're soul, we have mind, we have emotions, we have will, but also we have this spiritual connection wherever we are. So it behooves us not to fight our warfare in the physical, but to fight God's battles in our minds. Because that's where the warfare is. That's where the temptations arise. That's where they come in. But that's also where the good path and the good thoughts come in too. Yeah, the devil's talking to you, but so is the Lord. So is the Spirit. And they want to help you along the right way and into that. And maybe the clearest example of this that happens in the shortest amount of time is in the book of Matthew. Hopefully this will kind of bring things together for you. But within seven short verses, with one person, we see this play out completely. In Matthew 16 and verse 16, as Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asks them the question, well, who do people say I am? And they say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he asks them in verse 15, well, who do you say that I am? And in verse 16, Simon Peter answers, you are the Messiah. You're the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. And to that, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for this was what? Not revealed to you by man, but from who? But from the Father, from God, right there. Here, Peter is just being this receiver, God's transmission. God says, Peter, here's the truth. Jesus is my Son, your Messiah, your Lord. And Peter speaks it. You know Peter, he has no filter. If it comes in his mind, he pretty well blurts it out. Okay, here he was right on. But notice here in just a few short verses, in just six verses, when we get down to verse 21, Jesus says he's explaining to the disciples that he's going to be sacrificed, that he's going to go to the cross, he's going to suffer at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he'll be killed at the cross and on the third day raised to life. In verse 22, in that situation, what does Peter do? He took Jesus aside, began to rebuke him, and said, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And what was Jesus' response to Peter there? Jesus turned to him and said, get behind me, Cephas. Peter, Satan. For Peter, bless his heart, he has no filter. He received this thought when Jesus said he was going to be killed, and he said, never. But that wasn't God's thought. That was the devil's thought. That was Satan's thought at that particular time. So hopefully that will motivate us to realize that we've got a responsibility, a great responsibility, more than Sunday morning and more than Wednesday night. And I just highly recommend to you, come Wednesday night. You'll be blessed in that Bible study. For sure, the adults or whoever gets together, that it is worthwhile, because halfway through the week, man, we get confused and we get discouraged and we get torn down, and so it helps to have an association with others who keep our focus right, keep our spiritual dial tuned into God, and his purposes, it's got to help, doesn't it? Because the devil has his transmitter up. That's why we've got to fight. We've got to fight, realize it is a war, it is a battle, first of all for our minds, and first of all that the devil has strongholds built up. Getting back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it's been kind of convoluted, but we'll get back to there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the scripture tells us that though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Verse 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. All of us realize, don't we, that the devil has built up strongholds. If we've ever served in the military, realize that the enemy has built strongholds. Sometimes it's within a house, sometimes it's within a family, sometimes it's on a beach, sometimes it's on a up in the mountains or wherever it is. Sometimes the stronghold encompasses a whole village or a whole town. Sometimes it encompasses a whole country. I mean, you may have a couple, three assets, but basically the bad guys rule everything. And so you have to know that going in. Well, in our spiritual battle, in our spiritual warfare, don't we realize, don't we see that the evil one, the unholy one, also has his strongholds built up? He's transmitting his message. There are areas that people are fully, fully surrendered to the evil one, or to some degree. And therefore, our thoughts direct our ways. And let me encourage you to make God's word the author of your thoughts. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11, God simply said this. He said, listen, people, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. God thinks differently than we do. Can we agree to that? He sees it differently than we do. He sees better. He sees farther. He always keeps in mind eternity, and sometimes we forget. But his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways, his culture, his society are not necessarily our culture, our society, and our ways. Not only that, in verse 9, he says, not only are God's thoughts different than our thoughts, but also they're better. They're greater. He said in verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Therefore, it behooves us, verses 10 and 11, to meditate on his word, to think about it deeply. Not just to read it, not just to study it a little bit, but to really think about it so that it changes our thinking. So that we can think God's thoughts, so that we can walk in his ways. And that becomes the battleground, that becomes the crux of the battle for us on that daily basis. Verse 10 says, look, my word that comes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. But we've got to tune in. We've got to tune into him. That's why Sunday morning class is important. That's why Wednesday night class is important. And that's why hopefully I'll be able to share something with you from this pulpit that will be important to you so that you can think God's thoughts. Because God's thoughts are not your thoughts. And God's thoughts are greater than your thoughts. And I say that with utmost humility. His thoughts are much better than my thoughts. His ways are much better than my ways. But let's work together. Let's cooperate and help each other in that. Or like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, that there's a gate and there's a way. One leads to life, the other one leads to destruction. So as we think about Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus' admonition to all of us this morning, he says, enter through the narrow gate. Enter in through God's gate or God's way. For in contrast to that, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. May you look for that small gate, that narrow way. Listen. Listen to God's word. Listen to His voice. Listen to Him. Follow in His path. Don't look left. Don't look right. Reminds me of a story of an insurance seminar. The sales manager invited a high-powered motivational speaker to come in. And his seminar was designated Inspiration, although it could have been entitled Dedication or Perspiration or Get to Work, something like that. In addressing all of these insurance salesmen there, he was telling a success story, which happened to be about the president of that insurance company. And he was trying to motivate them, so he said, I know a man who drove straight to his goal. He looked neither right nor left. He pressed forward at all costs and with only one destination in mind. Neither friend nor foe could delay or divert him from the road he had chosen. All who stood in his path did so at their own risk. Can you see this motivational speaker? Just pounding it out there. He drove himself night and day. Now, what would you call such a man like this, my friends? And one of the salesmen in the back said, a truck driver. Yeah, that's a pretty good description. No, that's right. Sometimes we need a truck driver. And we need to plow through. We've got to get God's ways in our hearts. You know, making thinking about it. And feeling good about it. And making that decision to go forward. So that we can reach the goal. Because what God has in mind is heaven. What God has in mind is after this life. That's his motivation, and that's what he wants to accomplish. But we're going to have to tune in, brothers and sisters. We're going to have to hear that constantly because the strongholds that the evil one has built up are exceedingly abundant. Let me ask you, what are you reading? What are you listening to? Or who are you listening to? What are you watching? What do you see? What television do you watch? What movies do you look at or do you see? I do like sports. My favorite sports site is Sports Illustrated. But I tell you, I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful because when I go into that website, they're trying to sell me on the swimsuit issue. They're trying to put a little blurb in there. I've got to be careful of who I tune into. What kind of video games are you playing? Or computer games are you playing? I've got a favorite computer game. It was built in the 90s. But I've got to be careful about that too. Because if I'm not careful, it will eat my time up. And then those today, mercy, mercy, mercy. The graphics of violence, the violence graphics. Sometimes you wonder, why are these things being lived out in movie houses in Colorado and schools in Connecticut and things like that? I've got to be careful. you've got to be careful. As human beings, we've got to be careful. As human beings, we've got to make it our responsibility to tune in to God's thoughts and God's ways, or the devil's strongholds become a part of us, or will become a part of that. Let me encourage you to meditate on God's word. That 5-day reading schedule will help you to get in the Bible, but don't just use it as a checkmark list. Think about it. Meditate on it, please. Please. Do yourself a big favor and do what is right in that. Because as the concluding thought from Scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, listen, this is the bottom line. If you don't remember anything else this morning, please remember this. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we, brothers and sisters, we who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we who are marching to the orders of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we who love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength, we who are His people, we who are God's people, we who are God's family, we who give Him our all, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It's not just Sunday morning. It is every day we take every thought and make it captive to Christ. And search for what He wants to accomplish, what He wants to do. You know, let me bring back in a previous topic. God, yes, loves you here, but He wants each of us to go out. He wants each of us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He wants each of us to find those who are not part of the body of Christ in the family of God. He wants each of us to minister in some significant way, whether that is feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. Maybe it's liberating captives. Maybe it is educating those who are ignorant at this particular point. Maybe it is spreading beauty, true beauty and art. Maybe it's healing the sick. Maybe it is spreading prosperity. Maybe it's healing families. What does God want to do with you? What's His call for you? He wants to share with you His thoughts and His ways. But each of us will have to tune in to His message in His word. So, in the final analysis, who's your daddy? Who are you listening to? And then why? I guess athletes maybe illustrate what it means to truly believe in a person in authority. A high school basketball player, for example, triple overtime. Incredible game last night. Sorry we came out on the short end, but there's a lot of lessons learned in there. A high school basketball player who believes in his coach because he's a former NBA champion, he will do whatever that coach says, right? If the coach tells him to change his shooting technique, he'll do it. Even though it feels awkward at first, and even though his numbers go down at the beginning until they catch up, that he will change for that one who is in authority. Or if his coach tells him, you've got to run 4 miles a day, you've got to lift weights at least 30 minutes every other day, you've got to do yoga in order to maintain your flexibility, that high school player will do that even if it's painful. And if the coach says, okay, We've got to pass more and shoot less. Or looking maybe specifically at Mike, look, Mike, you've got to shoot less and you've got to pass more. Well, if I want more W's or more wins in the W column, then I will do that because I believe in my coach. Because that athlete, he believes that the coach knows better than he does and what it will take to become a winner and a champion. Now, on the other hand, if you are, therefore, the bottom line is, if you truly believe in a person in authority, you will follow them with complete obedience. On the other hand, if you don't believe in the coach, you will not fully follow. True? You may believe things about the coach. You may believe that he was a former NBA champion. You may believe that he is totally honest. You may believe that he's totally focused. You may believe that he has a perfect plan. You may even believe his name is Michael, as in Jordan. But believing certain information and believing in someone's authority are two completely, entirely different things. Our application for us this morning, for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, we may believe the facts about him. We may believe, indeed, that he is God in the flesh. We may believe that his death at Calvary's cross atones for my sins and my soul. And we may believe that Jesus cares because of that. We also may believe that we have new life in him, eternal life, because of his resurrection. We may believe that Jesus can do anything. But those that get it done are those who believe that Jesus Christ has all the authority and all of the right to direct our lives 24/7. And true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll follow and obey him even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's painful, even when they don't understand. But they'll respond to him because they believe in him and in his authority. Jesus has all authority in heaven, has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And he gives you this opportunity now to become part of his team. His thoughts, that if you're not a part of his body, if you're not a Christian this morning, he says, please come. Please come, because what I have done at the cross will make you right before God. Your sins be washed away. You'll be forgiven of any offense that you have, that God has against you. And you'll become part of his family. He also is there to say, I've got a way. I've building a church. There's a way I want you to respond. I want you to act. I want you to love those around you. Perhaps as you look into your life, you realize that you have fallen short of God's glory, that you want to make it right, that you want to be better. But the first thing you'll need to do is to tune in, hear his voice, because Jesus Christ, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who sacrificed himself at the cross, and who's resurrected, who's now sitting at God's right hand, Jesus says, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, come, and I will give you rest. If you need to find a place of rest in Christ, this is the perfect opportunity to do that. I invite you, please, would you please come while we stand and while we sing.